know that there is something magical inside of you, but you don't know how to uncover it? The Heart Sing podcast is dedicated to just that, helping you put yourself first and figure out what lights you up. I'm your host, Addie B, aka Slayer of Namaslayer, and through my journey of losing nearly 100 pounds, uncovering the magic of my soul, and building the life of my dreams, I'm leaving no stone unturned in the process of self-discovery. And I'm here to share it all with you, so let's get started. Welcome back to season two of the Heart Sing podcast. Addie Beal here, your host, and I am excited to kick off this season two officially with our first law from the seven spiritual laws as applied to weight loss and all your other big ass goals. I shared last week that we are going to start 7 weeks of me taking Deepak Chopra's book, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, and applying them to weight loss. My experience losing over 100 pounds so far, other experiences like leaving my job, my corporate career, and becoming an entrepreneur, buying an RV, traveling the country, doing these like big ass goals that I know come from this, all of this, what I'm going to teach you now and where I want to continue my growth, because it was the game changer this time, actually helping me put these dreams in my life into motion. And they are for so many of the women I see around me too. So lots of stories are going to pop up as I loosely relate these laws to my quest. I'm taking a lot of liberty here. So Deepak's book reads a lot like a little handbook. And at the end of each chapter, there's three things to commit for doing that day or week. So you're going to leave this podcast with, I say, even just pick one thing. If you just pick one thing that you're going to try for the week, and they're going to be small things. So get excited, because you're going to have some different experiences this year, and we're going to have fun doing it. It is a great little book for people that already have their spiritual routine rocking. Every time I do this book, I take something new from it. And those that are like I was a few years ago, like, no, but all right, I'm a little curious. If that's you and you're curious, open yourself up to this experience. You might just surprise yourself, and it might just be the little nugget you were looking for on your path. Just keep seeking. So, little fun fact, by the way, people around the world observe these laws on the same day, and they start with law one on Sunday. But I say, you do you. I'm not particular. I try to observe them every day. But if you want to get in with the global vibes, you know, you could do that too. But don't let it delay you from starting. My mission is to inspire you on your quest for that, you know, elusive something more, to pick up a new practice or two, a new thought, or some other source of inspiration to add to your goal quest this year, and maybe give you some paradigm shifts, like shift in perspective. Listen, I have been a lifelong weight loser, right? Like a professional. I'm a professional weight loser. Seriously, I don't think I can remember a time I wasn't seeking to be healthier. And it first took on just the guise of wanting to be, have a thin body, wanting to be small and tiny, like how I viewed everyone else on the planet, right? I look back now and I'm just so grateful for the entire journey. And what's more is that, like, now more than ever, I realize I won't stop seeking this healthier version of myself. And everything else, you guys, the bar just keeps moving. There isn't perfect, right? So when I get there, then I'm just setting the next goal and I'm moving, or I'm stagnant and I'm actually moving backward because the rest of the world is moving and I'm staying the same. And I did that for years too. And we know where that led. That led to that 300-pound ball of misery. You know, so going from all of those different diets and finding different foods that work for my body, and there wasn't a diet I didn't learn from, and I don't shame or regret myself. Diet's just a way of eating. So all those different ways I tried to eat, and that I still do, I look for gratitude for all they're teaching me about my health, my body, myself. And in the future, I know I am not only going to seek my goal weight and to feel my best, but from now, a space of, wow, can I create that with energy? Can I heal myself? What is this about my microbiome and my gut? And can I manifest money, lifestyle, relationships simply by connecting with this self, inner self too? What? This is the stuff I'm talking about, you guys, right? I'm going to drop the wisdom for you here right now, though. Listen up. Two things. First, it's all the same shit. It's all the same stuff. It works for any goal. The path to transformation comes from all different packages. None of it's in pre-portioned food, spoiler alert, but you can find your little nuggets everywhere. So I think we all have like little different nuggets we're going to pick up because our journeys are different, but that the real true stuff that works, like the getting rid of your limiting beliefs, overcoming obstacles, declaring what you want, really setting goals and creating a future self and getting frigging still. You know, and finding ways to create this in your life. That's all the same stuff. But the second drop of wisdom I want to give you here is the more I know, the less I know. So buckle up because we're going to learn some stuff this year and we're going to have a lot of fun doing it. And I'm sure it'll come out right here on the podcast. So there's that. Let's see what we're going to uncover. I use this book a lot and always take away something new. And you don't have to be on the same path with me or in the same spot for this to be really valuable for you. And in fact, that would be impossible, right? We're different humans, and even though we're one, of course, which we'll get into in the seven laws, you know, we're just on different paths and have different experiences. But I offer you this. Join me on this quest inside yourself, and don't compare your journey to mine or anyone else's. Instead, look with gratitude on your own journey and all the things you've learned to overcome and what's coming for you, and just allow yourself to open up. What if this is the thing? And if it isn't the thing, so what? Then you cast it aside and you try something new. Where we don't grow is when we don't dare to try new things and we keep doing the same old, same old. And maybe ask a friend to join you, you know, get some accountability, have some fun, share your experiences. And, you know, we just learn so much more when we do that, whether it's a social media post. Tag me, by the way, Addie Beal, for all your experiences. I love seeing. I love, love, love it. So as you're implementing it, if you're sitting out there in nature, tag me in that. I want to see it. Maybe you have a small accountability group, or you even in the HeartSing podcast community, you can come do it with us there. Try one little thing each week. And in 52 weeks, you guys, think of all those little things you'll have tried. What if one is your little nugget? What if, like, going in pretending you're a leaf in nature, we'll get to that a little bit later. What if that's your friggin' nugget that sets you on a trajectory of your purpose in life? You just don't know. You only find out by daring to step outside of your day-to-day normal activities. And so the next 7 weeks, we're going to have some fun actions to take to get you on this path to creating inside yourself where this true transformation comes from. And I'll be doing shorter recaps for you on the YouTube channel. So if you want a quick recap of the episode, you can head there and get that too. Are you ready to get started? If you get the book, at the end of each chapter is the practices laid out. And I'm going to make sure you have that in the podcast, but with some ideas of my own and how I'm relating this quest and how it has related to my weight loss journey and the other big ass goals, right? So I'm not going to be reading the book, just sharing my application of it and trying to make some sense of the deeper concepts pulling in from my experience. So we're going to take a look at this first law that Deepak tells us is the pure potentiality. And this law tells us the more we experience our true self, our true nature, this consciousness that isn't our body or mind, that is the field energy of all creation, the more we experience that, the closer we are to self-referral or becoming this witnessing awareness. And that is a friggin' game changer on your path, you guys, the witnessing awareness. And having that deep understanding of where we come from and who we truly are is freedom. It's total freedom. And when I hit there, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so free. Nothing matters. Life is fun and great and easy. And then 10 minutes later, I'm back in life, right? Like, my goal is to exist in that freedom more and more and more, because life's more and more fun. There's more freedom, more joy. Then you're like Eckhart Tolle, just having a ball everywhere. Like, everything's just fun. It's all, you know, this is just a game. Byron Katie, all of that, the more we can exist there. So how can we, like, facilitate that shift? First, let's talk about what consciousness is. And definition-wise, consciousness is your individual awareness. This awareness of thoughts, memories, feelings, sensations, environments, and everyone and everything. So if you didn't have this awareness, you would, what would you be? And so I like to think of this. They think about a dead body. I know, great stuff here. But like, that body's dead, and before it dies, it weighs the same as after it dies. So we're gone. That essence of who we are is gone, but it doesn't weigh anything. Where does it go? What is it? that's like our consciousness, right? That's the life force energy, the individual awareness that is in and of the body. But where does it exist? The great Sufi poet Rumi wrote, "Awareness sleeps in minerals, dreams in plants, awakens in animals, and becomes self-aware in humans." He's telling us in this little poem that everything in creation has some level of awareness or consciousness, but only we as humans have the potential and ability to become self-aware. Like, for example, your dogs and cats don't walk around asking themselves, "Who am I?" Maybe they do. I think Webster was this morning. We were really getting into our vibes out there. But just because we can, because we have this ability, shouldn't we be asking? And maybe, just maybe, we're asking these questions and it leads us on this path to our highest self because we start to listen in a new way. You start to allow the answer to come within you instead of pulling it from all outside of yourself. Just asking, "Who am I?" When we lead the soul questions in Chopra meditation, we start with that. "Who am I?" And you just let it sit there and you let the response come to you. You let an experience, you let an idea, you let a feeling, emotion. It's not something you create from outside yourself. This is truth that exists within you. And you start to observe your life and others in a different fashion when you start to get in this space. And let me put this in other terms for you. You become the observer of your life. And I like to picture myself like a little detective because that's fun. And I can easily observe the moves I'm making. I pick up all these different clues to keep becoming a better version of myself. And I also like being a detective because detectives can't be biased, right? They've got to just look at the evidence. And that also takes us out of judgment, which is going to be another activity we're going to get to in this Law One. So we are trapped in our 3D ego-driven world so much. Go, 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 do, do, do. All the information coming in that we exist in mostly what Deepak calls object referral. And this means we're looking outside ourselves for all these problem solutions. Everything is in and of the world, but not in us, right? It's like trying that new fad diet or getting surgery instead of looking inside for the truth. Instead, we try to find a way to fix the outside. James Clear, in fact, in Atomic Habits, he lays this out for us too when he talks about identity-based habit change. You want to start from the inside. So in other words, you don't want to train to become a professional weight loser. You want to train to become one who eats to fuel her body, right? I'm going to be like the one who dances with wolves, right? One who eats to fuel her body. We can all lose weight. We know that. We've all lost weight and gained it and lost it, and all of that is creating a lifestyle to where you become the person that just is that healthy being. And I see myself moving closer and closer down that spectrum, but I'm still dancing in there. Because it's not an overnight thing when you're changing your identity. And changing from an identity-based perspective forces us to look inside, right? It's not the things outside of you. All the valuable things I teach people are all about them going inside themselves. Everything I've learned that has been really valuable has been inside of me. Yeah, I learned how to eat healthy along the way. I learned how to, what fuels my body. All of those things have been great, but the really, truly valuable stuff that makes you change is inside, is in this self-referral and not object referral. Bet you didn't think I could relate Atomic Habits to the 7 spiritual laws, did ya? And my job here is done. Totally kidding. We're just starting today. My entire journey was like that 5 years ago, you guys, when I was the professional weight loser and not the one who eats to fuel her body, which I'm still on this quest for, but I'm so much closer. And I'm not sure where I'll be at the end of the quest. I don't think there's going to be an end. I will uncover more limiting beliefs at that stage, but I can tell you this, I'm loving the almost being to the one who eats to fuel her body, Addie, so much. And I'm going to keep going, keep digging inside of me and questioning all of the things. And back in the day, I would run from one diet to the next, picking up learning moments, of course, but I was always looking outside myself. And I still do that to some extent, right? Like I picked up fasting, I've got the biome stuff. I'm picking up my nuggets outside of myself to serve my highest, healthiest self, but I'm doing a lot more inner work than I've ever done before. And this is coming out with my abundance quest too. I am digging up more limiting beliefs uncovering my money blocks than I ever did with my weight loss blocks. And now I'm uncovering my weight loss, and it's led me to be able to help people uncover their weight loss blocks even more. It's just like the universe is just magic. Okay, that was a squirrel. But so the closest I really got to looking inside myself, you know, I did some self-help stuff back in, I don't know, my late 20s. I did vision boards. It got me to Hawaii, right? It got me to my dream house in Hawaii. But I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't understand how I was doing those things. And, you know, big goal, dream setting, but by far the most valuable investment outside of myself I made was the one to look inside. And that's when I went to learn meditation. And I'm telling you, I can still feel in my body so clearly that desperation I felt as I got out of my bed from that 3-day food and Netflix binge, already over 300 pounds. And in that moment when I saw myself becoming my father, and not the parts I liked about my father, but the overweight ball of misery his body was, especially toward the end. And it made his life miserable too. And here I was, shoving my face in bed, watching shows, doing the same thing. And make no mistake, my friends, when I got up that last time, I was desperate. I was on the hunt for help again, seeking outside of myself, looking for everywhere for the answers. I was like, please help me, show me, like I was going to doctors. Can any of you relate to this? Have you ever just been at that point with, and maybe it's not even weight loss. Maybe it's like you just feel this way with relationships or money, or it's all the same things in this path, right? But I just remember being like, I didn't know what to do. So I was contemplating weight loss surgery, and because I didn't want to be like that, just solve the problem, people, right? Just cut me open, solve the problem. And as I was signing up to wait for that to happen, thank God the universe brought me meditation, because now I know that wouldn't have solved my problem. It would have just started a myriad of other ones probably, because I would have had this different body and not had to do this work to overcome all of these things on my way, which has been so fun too. So many of you guys know this story. So I keep sharing it because, first of all, I never get tired of telling it, because I know in my heart without meditation, I would not be here, a healthier, happier version of me. And I know every time I say that story, someone needed to hear it, and someone needs to know it's possible for you too. It's this stuff, you guys, it's this work I'm sharing with you that's made such an impact and continues to. And of course, is why I preach about it so much to you guys and why I'm so passionate. And it goes with this law number one. Meditation takes you from object referral to self-referral. You become the observer. It's a shortcut, which of course is a blessing and a curse, because once you can really see all your own decisions, it's hard to run away from yourself. And sometimes you want to. Sometimes I still do. But now I'm always watching. It's like seeing a movie play out. And this is what happens as you practice experiencing your true self, which happens in the silence and meditation. When you start to see all those thoughts float by and you realize you aren't thinking them, you're watching them. Anyone in the life coaching world, you guys know this, you know the power of thought awareness. And we talk about this think, feel, act cycle and how you can change your thoughts to create whatever you want in the world. Listen, I think why I accelerated so quickly right at the beginning of finding everything and finding life coaching is because I had found meditation a few months earlier, and I was already practicing. I was already seeing, I could see my thoughts. I was already starting to change fundamentally who I was, because I was experiencing I was someone different, that I had control and power over this. And then I got the knowledge to put with it, and it was like a rocket ship, you know? As you practice this reframing your thoughts, you become that an observer of yourself in so many ways, and you start to see that, right, that you're not the thinker. Right? Like you're not the one that you can see the thoughts happening. And it's a powerful skill. There's this other level to this becoming the observer that brings you ultimate freedom. Right? If you understand you are not this body and this is all just a game, like what if you could really believe that to be true? Can you see the freedom in that? And can you see how having a greater and greater separation of yourself from your thoughts would make decision making easier? You start to increase the space between your thoughts and your actions, and are better able to pick up these infinite choices in each moment to choose the one that serves you. The Prayer over Shreya. Many of you guys that have been listening to the podcast for a long time, you know that story. And I'm going to do a little supplemental podcast just to retell the Prayer and Shreya story. But just a quick summary on it. Shreya is a choice that serves you, like the little angel on your shoulder. And Prayer is the one that doesn't. You know, that's the one that takes us down that path to disease, right? To being unhealthy, to death, to sickness, illness, all of that stuff. That's all those little decisions to eat the, for me to eat the fudge cake instead of enjoying my healthy avo bowl, which that I like just as much, right? But like that sugar call, that dope hit to the head, all those little decisions. And Eckhart Tolle tells us this. I'm all about Eckhart today. I don't know why he came up, but he talks about the freedom. The beginning of freedom is the realization that you are not the thinker. The moment you start watching the thinker, a higher level of consciousness becomes active. So if you already can see you are watching, you're already activating this higher level of consciousness, you guys. You begin to realize that there's this vast realm of intelligence beyond thought, that thought is only a tiny aspect of intelligence. You also realize that all things that truly matter, beauty, love, creativity, joy, and inner peace arise from beyond the mind. You begin to awaken. Ah, how exciting. I love watching people awaken. It's so fun. And maybe I shouldn't say fun because there's some turmoil to it. So if you're awaking and experiencing that, there's the Heart Alchemist on YouTube, and she has a great video about the six layers of awakening or something like that. It's called. It's so awesome to understand as you're going through that what you're experiencing. And what I started to experience, like as I start practicing meditation, and it was this freedom from self that he talks about, this ultimate freedom that, hell, I wasn't even really this body, but then it sure felt like it most of the time, right? But the more dips I would take in that world of stillness and be like confirming to myself, oh my gosh, I can experience this other level of consciousness. The more I started to not only live a life full of creativity, wonder, and joy, but I was making healthier choices for my body. It's a superpower, my friends, becoming this observer. And you can see, you can enter this path from so many ways. Life coaching and observing your thoughts, of course. Practicing stillness like meditation, but also, what about nature? I'm going to bring in nature here for a minute. It's important on your path. Do you just take a second with me, and I want you to picture you in that space here on earth where you are like, oh, you know, maybe it's when your toes are in the sand at the beach. Yeah, Ounce, that one's for you. I know that's you, woman. Or maybe you're catching the sunrise on your walk. Maybe it's in the mountains. Maybe it's by a stream or on a lake. Think of that place in your mind and close your eyes and envision yourself there. And what do you feel? Can you feel it in your heart? Can you feel peace, joy, inner calm, gratitude, this overwhelming love, joy, wonder for Mother Earth, for wow, look at this place. If you think about how incredible it is, the ecosystem, every little insect, every tree, every grass blade, if you sit and allow yourself to reflect on it, feeling like, oh my God, we're all one, right? We're all part of this creation, and it's so magical. Think about how magical it is. It's a great daily practice to experience pure potentiality, to be on your walk and allow yourself to just be still, to appreciate all that is around you, to think of it also as having consciousness like you do everything around you, right? That, like Rumi says, even the rocks have awareness. It's just a different level of awareness, right? So this reflection, although it appears to be outside of us, is self-referral, because in the joy of Mother Earth, we're experiencing our oneness. So I'm going to give you an example. You know, there's times I go to hike on my mountain and I go up and down. You know how it is, you guys, right? I'm listening to podcasts on my phone. I'm getting exercise. I'm barely paying attention to the route, the rocks, the beauty. I might peek my head, oh, the sunshine's beautiful or whatever. And there's other days I go out with like this deep intention of I need to be in the earth. And I'm in silence and I observe every bug, every rock, every bird, leaf, cloud, and universe says, bless me with that day. And those are the days I'm up there weeping in gratitude. What walk do you think I get more out of? our ego selves would say, the one where I listened and learned all the way on the podcast, and I did all my social media, I checked my emails, I did all the things while I walked a badass, I multitasked. My highest self knows the value of my being is immeasurable. That is Shreya all day effing long, you guys. The putting the phone down and being present, being in the moment. That is the choice that's going to serve our highest self. So constantly, all day long, we're inundated with all these choices to make to answer your Facebook message, check your email, do this, do that, instead of just being. So this is a challenge to our minds, right? To shut it down and just be. And the more you do this, the more goals you achieve, the more weight you lose, the more at peace you are because you're living with intention. You're intentionally going in with that moment. This is how I'm choosing to be. And listen, I know it sounds nuts and impossible. It's not like we've been taught in Western world this stuff, right? Unless maybe you were raised by the Church of Law of Attraction, right? What if? That's a great idea. Like, we should just raise everybody in this stuff. Like, here's how the universe really works. Every single time I go to silence, you guys, everything I was seeking, either it comes flooding to me or the answers will appear I was struggling for. And when I try to bust my ass and do all the things and worry, it's like the doors close. Like I can literally feel the universe just going choop. Like I'm like, my connection will be off, everything. Can you see how this can help your weight loss quest? You might not hear commune with nature as part of your weight loss protocol, but I'm prescribing it for all of us right now. In fact, because I was preparing for this podcast, I did this morning. I got my coffee. I took the Riverhouse dog Webster outside and I did a live because I wanted to share. It was just a beautiful morning. It's cold out, but there was this beautiful fog over the river here and it was like all of nature was alive. It was just beautiful. So I went live on Facebook and then I went and I sat down and I was like doing some stuff on my phone and Webster came to like curl up in my lap. So I let him up and I looked at what he was so fascinated about out there and just looked at all the wildlife. And I was like, oh my gosh, what are you doing, Addie? So I put my phone down and I was like, perfect time to commune with nature, you know? So I pretended I was a duck swimming on the water and then they ducked and went under. And I was like, so into it, you guys. I felt the joy of that dive. It was like amazing. And they were going fast and they were going down river and these other birds came swooshing through so loudly. It was like a, it sounded like a big vacuum coming through. And it was just magical out there. So much so that like, as I sat there, I just started to get weepy. And I don't know, you know, I'm like, oh my God, who am I crying all over the place? But it feels good. It feels good to be in gratitude. And so I'm going to keep doing it. I am still doing my 10 gratitude practices every morning. The 10 sentences I write that I picked up doing the book, The Magic and the Abundance Group. And I'm picking up like all these little tools as we go. So I picked that up in November when we did The Magic. And then last month I added tapping in, like really understanding and learning tapping. And then with doing this abundance book, we're doing learning the laws of abundance, really, and Get Rich Lucky Bitch, it's called. Doing that, and I'm uncovering more limiting beliefs that I'm able to use the gratitude and the tapping on. And I'm telling you what, you guys, make no mistake, in combination with all of what you're going to learn in these 7 weeks, like the universe just keeps piling these little tools on to help me again be more present, be more connected with myself, and to take me into self-referral and not outside myself. So anyhow, I'm out there weeping in gratitude, and it can just be that simple. Practice being one with nature. And when I first started, I for sure felt a bit silly. You know, I'd sit outside my RV. I remember being here in Arizona when I was like, okay, I'm going to really practice this. And I'd sit there and I'd be like, okay, I am the cactus. Like, and the entire time in the back of my head going, all right, this is nuts, right? But I kept practicing. I had more success with palm leaves for sure. I could like see myself blowing in the breeze or flying like a bird. And then I'd start to wonder, what would it even feel like if I wasn't, if I didn't have conscious awareness, or what level did I have? Would I feel the cool water on my fronds or the cold air? Would I be able to flap in the wind? I wouldn't know, right? Who would know? So then I started like put myself in there. What would it feel like? How would I describe it? And I had more success with birds because I really think that'd be cool to fly and like have wings. So you see where it goes, right? You get down this rabbit hole and you get into this wonder of the universe. And you might just catch a glimpse inside and you connect in that awe-inspiring moment where you're like, wow, we're one, man. This is so cool. And you don't even need like drugs to get there. I'm telling you, just like stare at a tree and say, I am the tree. Okay, so that is something a fun practice to do this week too. So I'm going to recap all these at the end. So far we have sitting in stillness and communing in nature, right? So Deepak leaves us with one other tool in this law that seems so simple, it may be the most challenging for us yet. Practicing non-judgment. Did you laugh? Did you roll your eyes? Or you're like, well, that's effing impossible, Slayer. Don't you know I'm programmed to judge? Of course, indeed we are, right? We had to judge things to keep ourselves safe. So we'd evolve. So our brains are wired that way, but we don't need that much of that discernment anymore. And if you're constantly cataloging, judging everything in your world, everyone, everything that enters your sphere, then you're squeezing that little space Deepak likes to call the gap. And if you came and learned meditation with me or you know anything about this gap, this is the place of silence. It's the space between the thoughts. Each thought has a beginning and an end, and in between that space is the gap. And the more you practice meditation, the more you widen that gap, and that you're able to make better decisions for yourself because you're able to have space in between those thoughts to observe yourself. And so the more we are judging, the less we're experiencing the silence and this silent witness, right? Like you're, because you're actively engaged with your ego all day long, every single minute. A lot of great things can happen in that stillness. You can make an infinite amount of different choices for yourself. But what about this judgment, right? What about when you do stay in judgment? How about judgment of yourself? How many times a day are you judging yourself when you look in the mirror, when your pants don't button right? You know, this right here, understanding to stay out of judgment and to see yourself. When you see it, remembering you're becoming the observer of self, creating the more space so you can make the better choices will for sure help any quest to any goal. And when you see yourself say, oh shit, my jeans don't fit, I'm such a fat ass, immediately you see yourself in the mind, you're watching your thought now, right? You're the observer. You're like, well, that wasn't kind. That wasn't loving. Say things to yourself like non-judgment creates stillness of the mind, right? That's kind of lofty. That's very Deepak-y. I think it's a great neutral statement though, especially when you see yourself judging other people. You know, if I see myself saying mean things to myself like that, I usually try to stop myself and say something kind and loving to myself, which I guess could also be a judgment of sort, right? But like taking yourself to a space of non-judgment, I guess, you know, when I was doing some shadow work with Debbie Ford, you know, a few years ago when I really started to recognize this oneness and this observer and practiced with, in particular, homeless people. And when I'd see myself start to make judgments, just taking myself to that space, I am you, you are me. There's no judgment. We are one. Just really kind of imagining how I could be there in that situation too. Had I have their life, can I imagine that I could become like that person has become? Of course. I don't know their life path, you know, and I am who I am because of my life path. So taking this different perspective. So like anything else, these things all take practice, and it's going to be how you shift your mind and what you decide you even want to practice on. So here's your challenge for this week, you guys. Pick one of these to work on until we meet in the podcast next week. Share on social media and the groups with your accountability partner. Get someone in on this with you and see what happens. Just explore and dare to start to look at doing things a little differently and opening yourself up to a different way of being and experiencing the world. I mean, why not? What do we have to lose, right? So here's your options. Up one, and by far my favorite. I'm just kidding. I'm really not, but practice meditation. If you're not meditating already, get your ass in my class. Ooh, I like that. Get your ass in my class. Get your ass. Oh, okay. All right. Maybe I'll have to edit that out. I got a little carried away. It'll be my new jingle. Season two. Get your ass in my meditation class. Pooch, pooch. Okay, Addie, settle down. Listen, Deepak recommends 2 times a day for 30 minutes. I say if you get 20 in, I'm a super happy camper as your meditation instructor, and then you can grow from there. But remember, any time spent in silence is better than no time. So don't let perfectionism stop you. And, you know, if you want to get in, I'm doing an intro if you're listening in real time next week. So you can go sign up for that. You can find a meditation app and get started. You can just sit in silence somewhere like I did this morning. And that leads us to number 2, communing with nature. So commit to at least 5 minutes in silence in nature, okay, where you can practice just being and contemplating how you're one with the grass and the trees. You can do this on your walk. You know, just don't put your earbuds in. Don't put a podcast on. Don't listen to music. Just let yourself be and experience the outside, no matter where you're at. You know, and if you can't be outdoors, if you're like, no, Addie, you don't understand, it's brutal, open your window, stare outside. It can work. It works the same, right? Allow yourself to just be and be present and be still. And if you can do it longer than 5 minutes, do it. But I think 5 is a good challenge start. You could even go smaller if you wanted to. And then 3, practice non-judgment daily. So pick a time to start and maybe you increase it. Maybe you do it for, I'm going to practice 1 hour of non-judgment today. Or maybe all day today, I'm going to try to practice non-judgment. You know, the time isn't as important as your intention and your awareness. And, you know, as you bring your attention to noticing these things, you're going to just experience them throughout your life anyway. The more you practice, the more you'll realize the benefits. So let's bring you to some benefits, because you might be sitting here saying, how the hell is this helping me with my weight loss or big ass goal again, Slayer? Why do I want to do these? So I want to run down the benefits for you real quick. And if you need a recap on these exercises, look in the show notes, go to the YouTube channel where I'm going to do a supplemental about how to practice the law of pure potentiality video with just a quick rundown of those. But here's the benefits I wanted to share with you guys. I think it's important to understand when you're getting into a practice like meditation or tapping or any of these things that help manage your stress, what a benefit you're getting to your body. And it starts because you need to understand what happens in your body as you experience stress. Your heart rate goes up, your blood pressure goes up, respiration, perspiration, stress hormones, your anti-aging hormones go down, and your platelet stickiness goes up. So all of that stuff is increasing as you experience stress, and you're experiencing it every day, all day long. Even if it's little micro doses of stress, you're experiencing it. We're experiencing it every time we pick our phone up, every time we, you know, have an argument, every time we, something doesn't go our way. Chopra defines stress as when your needs aren't met. And think about that all day long, right? You get stressed when you compare yourself to others, all those things. So when you meditate, when you get in stillness, when you're able to reverse stress in your body, your heart rate goes down, blood pressure, respiration, perspiration, stress hormones, your anti-aging hormones go up, and your platelet stickiness goes down. What does this tell you? I mean, stress is the number one cause of disease in America. It is the lead root cause of all illness. So if you can better manage your stress, if you have tools to take yourself to this space where you're getting back to homeostasis, you are going to be serving your highest self all day long. So what meditation does and what happens in your body as you're experiencing this, you start to eliminate toxins in your body through meditation. And because stress inhibits the energy flow in your body, you get all bunched up, right? So now when you settle your mind and your body, so does your body. And you get deeper rest in meditation than even sleep. So they say like a 20-minute meditation is way better than a power nap if you're really feeling tired. Rest allows your body to heal. And the release of stress affects the body and the mind together, right? Because they're so connected. So you're able to still the mind, you're stilling the body. So if your mind is go, go, going, chances are you have so much tension and stress in that body. And we can release this through meditation. So here's some quick benefits of meditation that I'm going to share specifically with weight loss. And wait for this, because this stuff for me, I was like, are you effing kidding me? I'm meditating 5 times a day. So your benefits of meditation, you're managing stress, reducing anxiety, you improve relationships, create inner peace, you awaken your intuition, enhance your sleep patterns, lower your blood pressure, become less judgmental, and connect to spirit. Okay, that is a lot one practice of sitting still will do for you. I'm just saying. But we tell ourselves we can't do it, right? And that's what I'm here on this planet for, to help you know that you can and make it easy for you and help make it easy to understand why we want to do it. So listen to what happens when you are reversing the stress. So when you're stressed, you have 4 times less blood flow to your digestive system. You have less oxygen in your gut. You have lower absorption of nutrients. You have less enzyme production in your gut, which is one of the reasons why when you eat a meal, when you're stressed, you'll feel bloated. And it's like as much as 20,000 times less. When you're stressed, you have an increase in excretion of the important nutrients you need. You have a decrease in gut flora, and you have an increase in cholesterol and an increase in cortisol and insulin levels when you're stressed. So when you do a process of meditation, and this is from the Tapping book, but both of these things will have the same results on stress. And I don't know which one would have more. I would say I feel like meditation does more for me, but I also practice it long for longer periods of time, and I'm getting more spiritual benefits than when I'm tapping, right? I'm getting that whole freedom of spirit, where when I'm tapping, I'm overcoming like my limiting beliefs. So anyhow, just think of that. And, you know, so you're going to, by reducing the stress in your life, you're going to have 4 times the blood flow to your digestive system than you do when you're stressed. You're going to have more oxygen in there. You're going to be able to absorb your nutrients. You're going to have more enzyme production to process your food. And you're going to hang on to those vitamins you need, and you're going to have a more diverse gut flora preparation, or your microbiome, which is so important to the homeostasis of our bodies. Okay, you guys, I like to keep the podcast right around this 30 minutes. I know I'm a little long, but I wanted to kick us off with this law one. It's a biggie, and make sure you understand those benefits of meditation. And to urge you, if you have not already, jump in and take a primordial cell meditation course with me. If you want to do one of the intro courses, I have one of those coming up. Or you're welcome to come do the full thing with me. Okay, before we head out today, do you feel set to take action? And if not, what do you think is going to stop you from taking action this week? What obstacles do you think that are going to come up? Do you think you're going to not have time to be non-judgmental or to sit in stillness? Is this a thought your brain is throwing up? Oh, I don't have time to actually do this stuff. I can hardly even listen to it. I'm going to offer you this thought as we end the day. Maybe you don't have time not to. What if you're missing the light that life has to offer, and it could just be you being still, seriously? Like, it could be that easy. Like Marianne Williamson says, you know, our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. It's that we are powerful beyond measure. It's our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. So ask yourself that, you guys. Are you afraid of just sitting in the stillness and perhaps approaching that lightness? I know I was. I know I shut it down and ignored it for years. So open yourselves up to experiencing it, and it might be uncomfortable at first. You might not have allowed yourself to sit still for a really long time, or to look at nature like the goddess she is. Take some time and create a special little moment for yourself this week, and try to do a practice every day if you can, either being still, communing in nature, or practicing non-judgment. All right, witches and bitches, I hope you got a fabulous nugget today, and I can't wait to see you next week for Law 2. Head over to the YouTube channel if you want to see the little summary of this to practice along with me and in the Heart Sing podcast community. And I'll see you in meditation class, you witches and bitches. Until next week, slay her up.